Our first reading is from 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 15. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. Rather, they try to please their commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord. So, Lord, we ask that you'll speak to us now through your word in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. It's a funny old service, this. You've probably gathered already that there's a kind of oddness about ordaining someone a number of times. And there's a number of things we shouldn't be dissing tonight. The first thing we shouldn't be dissing is the ministry of every Christian. Because actually, you know, one of the things that you hold dear here at St. Bees is that you know that all of you are called to minister, and you're all, by virtue of your baptism, ministers of Christ. And if you're not teaching that, there's something wrong, but I know you are, so that's all right. And there's a great sense of everybody being a part of this wonderful body of Christ. And we're also not dissing other denominations and what they do in people's lives. We recognise the fact that the Church of England does ministry a bit differently, but there's nothing wrong with being ordained in a different denomination. And so it feels slightly imperialist to get ordained again. But at the same time, that's the path that we take. And I'm glad that David sees that as a kind of culmination of the journey that God's called him to. But there is also something very important about what we believe about what it means to be a priest. And this service expresses it. The New Testament hasn't got a very well-formed understanding of ministry. It uses words about people who are set apart to be ministers. Presbyter, which is where we get our priest from, and the words are used interchangeably in church history, not always interchangeably, but most of the time, and the word deacon, which is what David's been doing up till now. And what's clear from the New Testament is that Early on in the church, God called the church to start setting people apart to do particular leadership roles and representative roles in ministry. And that's what we're affirming tonight. Being a priest is about someone who's called by God to do this stuff. Doing the stuff is what you do lots of here, isn't it? So this is called doing the stuff, but doing it according to what the Church of England believes about what it means to be a priest in the Church of God. And we freely believe that what we do is the same as other denominations do, only we do it the Church of England way, and we believe we're in continuity with what's always gone throughout history. So what can we learn about that? If the screen could scroll us back to 2 Timothy and that reading we just had, I'd like to just take a few moments to think about what that reading has to say to us about ministry in general, but also about what it means to be a priest in particular. Because Paul's words to Timothy here are really significant. Timothy, if you remember, was one of those who was one of the early followers of Jesus Christ, and Paul was his kind of spiritual father. And so in 2 Timothy, what you get is a fantastic bit where Paul says to Timothy, this is what I want you to do. This is how you carry on with the Christian faith. Timothy is the kind of first bit of the second generation of those who believe. And so you see him writing here in 2 Timothy 2, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And you can tell he's winding up for something pretty good because he starts with grace, which is absolutely where we always start. There is no way that any of us can do this, the things God calls us to, without grace. Later on in the service, there will be a bit where I say, you need grace, you need prayer, you need the Holy Spirit, and you need Scripture. And those four things form the life of the priest. They form the rest of our lives too. Now, you know, anybody who tries to live as a Christian who doesn't understand that they need prayer, the Holy Spirit and Scripture is going wrong. But most of all, we need to receive and understand grace. And David's already borne witness to the fact that, you know, in his life, he's needed a bit of grace because God sorted it out through that. And that's great. Thank you for that testimony. But you're not the only one. We're all a bit in need. No, in fact, we're always all in need of grace. And what is it that you get out of bed in the morning with as a Christian? Grace. What is it that you go to bed in the evening with? Grace. What is it that made you a Christian in the first place? Grace. And I don't mean that stuff you say before meals. What I mean is that it's because God loves us absolutely and called us to be his people and he sets his grace upon us. That's how we minister. And David knows that, and we're praying for God's grace in his life. And that's the starting point, the finishing point, the always point. And then Paul goes on and he says, and by the way, we're setting in motion here something which is going to go down throughout history. Now, Christians disagree about quite how it goes down throughout history. And the Archdeacon and I are having a little joke together before the service about what we understand by this. But verse 2 gives us a kind of feeling of it. The things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. And the reason we lay hands on people the way we do in this service is because we believe that we are saying something about continuity. If you come from my end of the church, you believe that continuity is transmitted in Scripture. If you come from the more Catholic end of the church, you believe it's transmitted not just through Scripture, but through the tradition which goes right back to Jesus. You pay your money, you take your choice. And actually, it's not quite a thing that you can easily sort out. But what's important is that all of us who are Anglicans believe that this stuff is something handed on. That the reason we believe we ordain people in the Church of God is because we're doing the same thing the first apostles did. When Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit and go and do what I've done, as the Father sent me, so I send you, that's what the church is called to do, and that's what we're called to do. And Paul says to Timothy, look, you know the stuff I've taught you. You know how you've been built up in the faith. You know that that faith is something that we've received and are passing on. So pass it on to others, which is what we all do, isn't it? Okay, you know, how do we help people become Christians? By showing them, by speaking to them, by living it out, and by telling them. And God does his work. But there's a particular responsibility for those who are priests to hand it on and to lead people forward into Jesus Christ and to build them up in the faith. And then he uses three pictures. And the pictures are quite good. Again, let's just prod and provoke you, David, with the pictures. But actually, they're good pictures and images for all of us. The first one is the picture of a soldier. And he says about the soldier, here we are, it's on the screen. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but tries to please his commanding officer. Doesn't mean that you're so boringly out of touch with the world that you stop actually being engaged with what goes on. But there is that sense of being set apart. And when you pray for your clergy, as I hope you do, you're praying for us that we are meant to be people who represent Jesus Christ in a particular way. And we've got this commitment to do it. Whether we do it full-time, part-time, whether we're paid or not, we are to be soldiers. We are those who aren't entangled by other stuff. I hope you'll get time. I don't suppose you will because, the ministry here is a bit busy. But, plenty of time in your life as a priest for what you need to sustain you and to ensure that you aren't stuck in entanglements of the wrong kinds in terms of your life. And then there's another picture. Let's roll on, please. The next one is the athlete. How's your running? Good? It was better. Yeah. So anyone who competes as an athlete doesn't receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. There's a sense in which what God calls us to is also about discipline. It's about a rigor. It's about having what the tradition of prayer calls a rule of life. Again, that's not just for priests, it's for everybody. I hope you've all found places where you know rhythms of prayer sustaining you in your spiritual lives. But particularly for the life of a priest, we need to have patterns that will work for us. Whether it's informal, formal, whether it's words or silence, but that sense that the spiritual life is being sustained. Your training is about prayer and scripture bedding itself into your life. And you keep to the rules. Well, the rules are the rules of God's word regulating you. So there's a soldier, there's a farmer, there's a soldier, an athlete, and then there's a farmer. So the third picture is the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive the share of the crops. I don't know what that means. The commentators have all kinds of a field day with it. But it is about perseverance. And I think that's what we actually get into. That there will be times in the life of any minister of God, and particularly times in the life of a priest, when it all feels impossible, when actually it's not working. How on earth you signed up for it again, having been through it once, I don't know, but it must be God. But there is that sense in which we know that there'll be a moment when we all say, what am I doing this for? And God comes back and said, because I've called you, and because actually the perseverance I put in your life enables you to cope. By the Holy Spirit, he draws us on. And you guys, of course, will encourage each other in that as the ministry team here. But perseverance. Again, do pray for your clergy. You may think we're all wonderful and perfect. You probably don't. But there'll be moments when you think, well, actually, they're somehow sort of better than the rest of us. We aren't. We suffer the same kinds of temptations and fears and doubts as everybody else. And what we need from you is the encouragement, the fellowship, the perseverance and the prayer, which enables us to go on. So three good pictures. And here's the last thing, because I could go on all night, but I better not, because we'll be here all day. Reflect on what I'm saying. The Lord will give you insight into all this. This sounds a bit kind of, so Timothy's going to be wonderfully learned in how he does the stuff. But there's a sense in which we are asking when we set someone apart for the office of a priest in the church that they will be people who are discerning, who understand the will of the Lord, who by their study of Scripture, by their praying together, by their working together, get a bit more insight into what's going on. We're praying for a bit of vision. I think you've already got some. But use whatever gifts God's given you in the service of the church. Carry on doing what you have been doing, but just refresh it and renew it and let God give you something new. We're going to be praying for you both in the formal ordination and afterwards with some words, I hope, of pictures for the next stage of your life. And if you find that God gives you something to give to David at some point in the service, do share it with him either in the prayer time or afterwards. He'll value it and he'll weigh it. So that's the picture. That's what it means to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. And it's a calling for all of us. None of us stop doing these things. But in particular, we're praying tonight for David and for all those called to the office of priest in God's church, that they may know more what it means to live with those pictures of soldier, athlete, and farmer, carrying on being faithful, but also knowing that they stand in a long line of those who've gone before them. And we carry on serving God because that calling's on our lives. See, the thing is, when you're called to be a priest and God starts nudging you, and some of the folk here in St. Bees have been doing that. I've been seeing some of you for ordination calling. It's great how many people God's called. When that nudge comes upon you, you can't ignore it because it's God. So you may find that in this service even, some more of you might get that nudge towards being called to be a priest in the Church of God. And when that nagging call comes upon us, all we can do is say, okay, God, I'll do it because it's your way. Thank you for being responsive to God's call. God bless you in your ordination as a priest. Amen.